Let's start here, though. I was sitting quietly on a park bench in France, minding my own business, taking a break from everything else that had been going on at that particular time, family. I sat down, just quietly minding my own business, and this man came and sat next to me and started talking. He spoke very good English, which was just as well. I had no idea what he said when he first sat down, and I looked at him with a bit of a glazed expression, and I said, English? So the conversation could carry on. And then he came this question from him, you're English, so you live in London? I did wonder for a moment, why is it that just because I'm English, I have to live in London? And I said to him, no, not London, I live in the middle of England. And came his response, ah, you live in Birmingham. Now brace yourself, because the response I gave at this point might not be all that you would prefer it to be. You see, when we first moved to Bromsgrove 4.5 years ago, feels like a lifetime, doesn't it? 4.5 years ago, we learned very quickly from the people who live in Bromsgrove that we live in Bromsgrove. We do not live in that other place nearby that also begins with B. So brace yourself, because I said to him, yes, I live in Birmingham. It seemed easier at the time, seemed easier in my mind. As I said that, I can assure you the weight of guilt descended. Yeah. And I'm confessing, so, you know, that's a healthy thing to do, apparently. So this weight of guilt descended. I had flashbacks to those conversations in those early days of being in Bromsgrove, the ones where that other place slipped into conversation, and I was very quickly corrected. It didn't actually take me long to get over it, though, because I started pondering after that conversation things about identity and rootedness. What is it that gives us our sense of being rooted to a place? What is it that has us be able to say, yeah, I belong here. This is where I belong. And then of our identity, what is it that says to speaks into our lives, that shapes our identity, that has us be the people that we are, has us go through different experiences, make different decisions? What is it? What is that thing about identity all about? You know, all of the things that I've just been saying there have actually been covered in the last 3 Sundays during August. That sense of belonging, that sense of being rooted to a place, that sense of knowing our identity in Christ's name, we've been covering all of that to bring us to this point that we're at this morning. To lead us into these 2 Psalms I want to look at, there are 3 statements that we used right at the beginning of the teaching series I want us to look at again. As each one comes up, I'm going to pause, because I want us to just think about the words. Don't just sit and listen and go, yeah, he's going to move on to something else in a minute. But listen, think carefully, reflect on the words that are on the screen. Think about, actually, what are they doing to you right now as you read them? So here's the first set of words. There are times when we're full of excitement about life and God. Here's the next one. There are times when God seems silent and distant. And the last one, you are a pilgrim climbing a mountain, and if you never slipped or felt the strain, you wouldn't be normal. I like that last one particularly, because I find it reassuring. You know, we began in Psalm 120 with thoughts of confession and repentance, that people secure in their identity as belonging to God's community. They were singing their songs of worship, singing their songs of praise as their pilgrimage led them towards Jerusalem. And now we come to Psalm 133, and we have this determined focus on the same group of people, the people of God, thinking about how they were living together amongst themselves, what I'm describing here as living together inwardly, with a sense of identity that was unifying them, that was bringing them together. And then in Psalm 134, we have the sense of the blessing that it is of being God's people living together outwardly. So not just about inward focus on ourselves, but living outwardly, rooted in the purposes of God, rooted in all that it means to be part of the mission and ministry of God in the world. So this is where our focus is going to be this morning, on those two things. Let's think first of all then about living together inwardly. What does Psalm 133 say to us about how we are to live together as God's people? Well, you know, whatever's happened along the way of the journey, whatever might have caused disagreements to flare up, differing viewpoints to be expressed, or people have fallen out, whatever has happened along the way of the journey that's caused people to jump up and down with delight and joy through the embrace and celebration of lives shared, whatever's happened along the way of the journey, Psalm 133 is clear, isn't it? It's got this unavoidable focus on living with a sense of identity that brings people together, brings them together in that sense of community that can't exist without that sense of togetherness and harmony and peace amongst each other. Here's again how the NIV expresses it. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down off the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down onto the collar of his robe. As if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Keith read the words from the Good News Bible, which are there as well. How wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony. That's where the Lord has promised blessing. Just notice in the words that are a slightly more bold font there. As God's people, secure in their identity as his community of pilgrims journeying together, they came to the place where their journey has been leading them with the cry of their hearts, knowing what a blessing it is to live in harmony, being united in purpose, both in word and worship, as well as through their experience of just being part of that community together. These are awesome words. They're not expressed in some little tiny insignificant, by the way, kind of method, are they? They're expressed here, the sense of joy and celebration and unity together. It's expressed here with examples of abundance, absolute abundance. The first description we get there is about that oil that was quite literally poured over Aaron when he was anointed, when he was ordained to be a priest to serve the Lord. Just completely soaked in it. And the second is the reference to the heavy dew falling on a mountain. Apparently, the higher up the mountain you go, the thicker the dew gets. We were fairly high up a mountain in France. I can't say we were noticing much about the dew by the time we got up in the morning, though, but there we are. So these two examples here, they're just examples of abundance. Don't miss that. Examples of absolute abundance. Being completely drenched, being completely covered, completely filled, whichever way you want to look at that. This is the people of God declaring through their worship the blessing of being totally immersed within what it means to be part of this community that they know that they are rooted in. This is where their identity is. This is where they're living together in unity as God's people, living together in harmony. And because of that, here is their declaration of praise and worship coming out to the full. Just pause here with me for a moment. Think about what I've just said. This is the people of God declaring through their worship the blessing that it is of being totally immersed within the community that they know that they belong to, that they know gives them their identity as people of God. So here's a question. Is that how you feel? Is that how you feel right now? Is that how you feel during church services? Is that how you feel about life groups, church meetings? covenant partnership, etc. I put on the, I could have carried on with that list. Is that how you feel? Exuberant praise and worship, sense of belonging, sense of unity, sense of harmony. Listen, we need to be the people of God, declaring through our worship our sense of unity and harmony, our sense of togetherness, belonging, all of the time. That's what Psalm 133 is calling us to do. Don't downplay the significance of these words for us as church today. Yes, they focused particularly on a period of time, a moment in history, when the people of God were coming to Jerusalem. But don't downplay, don't underestimate what God is saying to us as his church through his word today. You know, Eugene Peterson, who I'm sure we've quoted on a number of times now through this teaching series, opens his chapter on Psalm 133, I have to say, fairly directly. You know, he's straight in there, no messing. There's no mistaking where he's going with his thinking. He's straight in by focusing directly on the thing it is that identifies us as belonging to this particular church community. And he focuses on it so thoroughly that you can't mistake his mindset. It's not optional, but it's vital. This is what he's expressing in his introduction to the book we've been using. He goes on to say that when it is treated as optional, it damages the full depth of unity of any particular church community. He suggests then that when that happens, the focus is more about church as an institution than it is on church being a place of relationship. That's got to be a bad thing, surely. If we focus on church as an institution and not a place of relationship, that's got to be a bad thing, hasn't it? Listen again, we will never be able to say of ourselves as church how wonderful it is that we, God's people, live together in harmony and full unity unless we put down any institutional hang-ups that we cling to from time to time and properly get a hold of church as a community of relationship, not rules and regulations. One way we do that is about being part of Bromsgrove Baptist Church in harmony and unity. And that's what we seek to reflect, isn't it, through covenant partnership. That's got so little to do with church as institution and everything to do with church as belonging, relationship and identity. We call it covenant partnership, other people call it membership. I don't care what we call it, as long as we get it right. We need to embrace the fullness of our unity that's expressed in our willingness to be identified with the church community that we feel part of. Peterson goes on and expresses that so well as he traces it as something that's been part of God's plan since creation. It's not something that's been added to or made up along the way. This was how God always intended things to be. His people identifying themselves with their belonging to that particular part of his community. We need to embrace our identity and rootedness inwardly through our covenant commitment to God. And we do that by sharing our lives in harmony together. You know, even if we hold a different viewpoint on something to the person sitting next to us. We need to demonstrate our identity and rootedness inwardly through our own covenant commitment to God of lives shared in absolute unity. Even if our preferred worship style or choice of song or whatever other aspects of church life it is that you particularly want to focus on, even if your views differ to somebody else's, we can still live in unity together, can't we? That's not the most encouraging response I could have wanted to have. We can do this. We can do this. There will always be richness and opportunity for God's mission and ministry to the world through the diversity of the church. We don't all have to be carbon copies of the same person or anything like that. Richness and in diversity is what we can embrace together as church. When we do that, harmony and unity will flourish. When we don't do that, then the opposite things will be there and God will not be seeing his church as a blessing to those around us. We need to live together inwardly with that sense of identity and rootedness, that this is the community of God's people that he has called us to be part of. And then we'll be ready to live outwardly as well. We need to live inwardly as God's people together in unity and harmony. We need to then live outwardly. Here's Psalm 134 again. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. There's more praise there, isn't there? There's more sense of blessing going on there. You know, in those verses, in the first couple of verses, there is a sense of something ending. The people of God are leaving the temple as they're saying this. And they're saying to the Levi priests, praise the Lord, keep worshipping God for us. They're essentially saying, we've worshipped in the temple of the Lord. Now, as we go, you carry on giving praise to the Lord throughout the night. I'm going to come back to that statement in a moment. So there's something about ending there. There's something that's ongoing as well in verse 3. This is a benediction back from the priests in the temple to the people who are going on their way. It's like the final prayer that we always have at the end of a service. And as the priests are saying, go on knowing the blessing of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. That feels good, doesn't it, when those two things come together. But you know, we need to be careful here as well. There are ways of expressing things that are good and helpful, and sometimes there are ways we express things to each other that we need to think carefully about. You know, we look to the Bible as our big biblical example to shape how church life is today, and that's great. That's fine. Let me be clear, though. If we focus on that first couple of verses in the wrong way, then this is what's happening. It's like the people that are leaving that place of worship saying, well, we've done our bit. We're going home now. But you must keep it going. You must hold it all together. You are the ones who are holding it all together. We'll be back next week. See how you're doing. That's not really helpful, is it? That's not so helpful at all. If we do that, if we're displaying that in our way of being part of this community of God's people, then this next image demonstrates what we are viewing church to be about. You know, church gets its identity when we turn up in a building. That's what we would be displaying if we're saying that. If we're the ones saying, I've done my bit, you carry on, you keep working hard, you keep going all night long. It may disappoint you to know that Keith and I are not deeply in prayer and on our emails and everything else to do with church all through the night. I know you're not. But you know, this is the wrong view of church. If church for us is about pitching up, doing our bit for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning and then going home again, this is the wrong view of church. Okay, this is this next image perhaps is a better one to look at. This next image looks at where church really is within us. Rather than us pitching up in a building and saying, this is church now because I'm here, this image is the one that these two psalms are working towards us, actually embracing with every bit of our being. That we carry church with us. We are church. Church is within us. Church is everything about us. Church is happening when we are seeking to live our lives for Jesus. When we're seeking to be involved in the mission and ministry of God, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, this is how church needs to be lived out. On this next image, I've gone completely off my notes, Craig, Neil, so you keep up. This is where church is. Wherever there are people of God, living and breathing, seeking to be disciples of Jesus in whatever they're doing, wherever they are, this is where church is, isn't it? Oh, you're going to respond better, hopefully, soon. Yeah. Okay, good. You know, let's just look at this image for a moment, because there are so many things going on here. It's suggesting church is here with the mother and toddler walking along the path and the bloke sitting on the bench reading his paper and on the bus and in the buildings, in the office blocks, in the homes, in the shops. Wherever we are, here is the people of God being church. There's a big difference between, in my mind, between doing church and being church. Doing church is all that institutional stuff, the rules and regulations that I get bored with. Being church is what we need to be, isn't it? Being church is about us being the people of God, secure in our identity in Christ, secure in our sense of belonging with each other, and living that outwardly all of the time, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. This is where church is. And I've got completely lost in my notes. So, Neil, I have no idea where I'm going next. Bottom of page 4 is probably a good place. You know, it's as we carry that sense of identity as God's covenant people with us, as we let it shape our lives, that's when it's going to be a blessing to other people around us. Not when we just happen to pitch up in a building and think, oh, this is all churches, I know I'm off, I've done my bit. But when we're seeking to be disciples of Jesus wherever we are, whatever we're doing. You know, next Sunday we'll be back into Isaiah as we continue to ask ourselves this question. God's mission, does it matter? That's a big question. We've been exploring that earlier on in the year in certain parts of Isaiah, and now we're looking at the last 6 or 7 chapters of Isaiah and asking that again. God's mission, does it matter? How we answer that will be demonstrated in our view of what it means to us to be part of church. Where is our sense of rootedness, identity, belonging? But you listen, don't wait until next week before you start answering that question in the way that you let God shape your life through the identity we have as his people. Don't wait till then. Start now. And do it by realizing that belonging, identity, rootedness, purpose, whichever word you want to focus on because you find that one the easiest to get your head around, whatever it is, realize now that this is all here in what we believe it means to be as part of the covenant community of God's people that we call church. And do it now by realizing that whatever the circumstances of life, then blessing is there. God's blessing is there as much in the abundance and the fullness of life as it is in the way that he sustains us and provides for us when life feels empty and difficult. Blessing is there. We meet together here to worship God. This is God's place for us to come together in harmony and unity. Then remember that every place we go to is just the same. A place where God calls us to reflect him as we live out our identity as his people, in Jesus' name. Amen.